This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Okay, we've finished looking at Acts, and we're going to switch over the summer weeks to a series called The Kingdom of God is Like... Next week, Sally's going to be talking, The Kingdom of God is Like the Mustard Seed. This week, I'm speaking on the kingdom of God is automatic. I don't know, have any of you ever had an automatic car? Yeah? Do you remember the first time you drove an automatic car? The Americans, you only have automatic cars, don't you? Do you? You don't drive the manuals. But the first time you drive an automatic car, when you're used to a manual, you know, and you get the clutch and the brake mixed up, and you do that emergency brake in the outside lane, you've been through that. So there's this story about this guy. He's on his way to work. It's a new route, and he drives down the bottom of the hill. And at the bottom of the hill, there's a set of traffic lights, and they're on red. So he stops, and he's waiting at the traffic lights. And he looks in his mirror, and there's this car coming a bit too quickly. And sure enough, bang. Not too much damage, but it's definitely a bang. And he gets out and he walks around the back and they have a conversation. And it turns out the guy's got this automatic and he doesn't know how to slow it down properly. And they exchange the insurance details and all that. That's Monday. Tuesday, he's off down the hill and he gets to the traffic lights at the bottom of the hill and they're red. And so he stops and he looks in his mirror and sure enough, it's the same car coming down behind him. And this time he stops just in time and then whoosh, steps forward and bang. Another one. So he gets out and they exchange the insurance details, although they actually know them now, and have a little conversation. And then Wednesday, he drives down and traffic lights amazingly out red again, and he stops at the bottom of the hill. And sure enough, this car comes down and creeps down, but it can't stop and it hits him. And the guy's complaining. He says, "It's just an automatic. I don't know how to stop it, and it just goes on its own and with no visible force. It just seems to go." And they exchange insurance details again. And the guy in the front car says to him, he says, "Tomorrow is Thursday and I won't be coming this way to work. Have you made any plans for how you're going to stop?" I thought it was good. I've got a colleague at work whose husband has got a very nice, big, fast car, which is automatic, big car. And she refuses to drive it because she says, "I just don't, it seems to go without visible cause," she said. Because I just don't trust myself in it. Many cars are automatic now. I was excited to hear about Apple. Apple are thinking of producing a car, but then I thought, I won't have any windows. You get it? Get it? Ruben gets it? Yeah? No, he's shaking his head. Anybody got a Tesla? You know, Teslas don't have that new car smell. They have more of an Elon Musk. Yeah, you like that. Yeah. Right, shall we get on? Okay. The kingdom of God is automatic. So, we are praying for the lost. We're being and sharing the good news. We are longing to see revival. And we can be cheered by the knowledge that the growing of the kingdom is entirely in God's hands. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God a lot, and he would gather people around him, and he would explain it in parables, sort of extended metaphors. Tom, would you come and read for us from, I'd like to find Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. Do you want to read that for us, first of all?
He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it, because the harvest has come."
Okay, don't go anywhere, just stay there for a minute. So, these Bible words are the lively oracles of God. It's God's word to us. It's given to us because he loves us. Absolutely right. Thank you, Lord. So when Jesus sits down beside the Lake of Galilee and shares this parable about the kingdom of God, things were definitely on a small scale. The kingdom of God consisted mostly of a motley crowd of rather surprised disciples and hangers-on. And Jesus tried to help them understand what it's like with a series of these kingdom of God parables, of which this is a short one. I'd like just to read, because it's so short, I think we'll read it again. And I've asked Tom to read it again in the Message translation. So we're back at Mark chapter 4. Just keep your finger in that and we'll talk about it a little more. But read it in the Message for us.
God's kingdom is like a seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forgets about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First, a stem of grass, then a bud, then a ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps. Harvest time.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Tom. Jesus was brilliant at drawing these word pictures. And often his parables asked as many questions as they seemed to try and answer. And at first, this is a really simple parable. It's really short, really simple. One that most of us understand intuitively, even though I don't see any farmers here. I don't know anybody who's got very close to sowing seed or a grain harvest. The closest we've probably got to that is wandering down the bread aisle at Morrison's. We're nevertheless sort of familiar with that idea of the Palestinian farmer sowing seed in the fields with a sweep of his arm. Nevertheless, even though it's short, it begs, I think, seven questions, which we're just going to very quickly run through. What is the kingdom of God? He introduces it by saying the kingdom of God is like, what is the kingdom of God? Who is sowing the seed? It says the farmer. Who's the farmer in this parable? What's the seed? When does all this happen? Is this a past event or a future event? What's he alluding to? How does the seed grow? Who are the harvesters? So at the end there will be harvesters. Who are they in his parable? And what does that harvest look like? So very quickly, what's the kingdom of God? We talk a lot about the kingdom of God in the vineyard, and our theme this year is kingdom, power, and glory. I talked about power last week. We're just doing this little series on kingdom to help us explore that a little bit more. Is the kingdom a geographical place, like, you know, the United Kingdom? Is it a political sphere? Is it a spiritual zone, or is it just a metaphor? What's the kingdom? John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, defined it like this. He said, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. It's where God has influence, rule and reign of God. And the church is the primary but not the exclusive residence of the kingdom. We could talk about that another day. When Jesus was speaking this 2,000 years ago, there was a sense that the kingdom was already there. In the sense that the Jewish people had been part of the kingdom of God. They'd understood themselves as part of the kingdom of God for hundreds of years. But mainly because when Jesus arrived, he ushered in this new, extraordinary phase of the kingdom of God with real power and authority. We said that power is the manifestation of God's authority. And when Jesus turns up doing powerful things, we see God's authority come, and it's a sign of the kingdom. So if we say that power, last week I said, is the how of our faith, how we do it, because through the manifestation of God's authority, the kingdom is the what, the when, and the where of the exercise of our faith. The what, the when, and the where. So where we see heaven on earth, you know, we pray the Lord's Prayer, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. When we see heaven on earth in salvation, in healing, in deliverance, in peace, in restoration, in forgiveness, in grace, when we feed the poor, when we set the captives free, we see the kingdom. We see glimpses of what heaven will be like expressed on earth. When we see that there is a prevailing against the forces of evil, when we see justice done, it's a sign of the kingdom. So the kingdom, If power is a manifestation of God's authority, the kingdom is a manifestation of God's rule and reign. It's that where the realm where he has authority and it's expressed. Jesus describes it in this parable by saying the kingdom of God is like a sower and his seed. Verse 26, a man scatters seed on the ground. Who is it? Who is this man or woman? I don't think it's gender specific. Who we can understand Jesus as referring to himself as he goes about doing his kingdom stuff. Yeah, okay. But I think it becomes clear if you read through a few chapters when Jesus gives his disciples the commission to go and do what he's doing. He sends them out with the same activity as he's been doing, kingdom activity. And then towards the end of his time, before he ascends to heaven, he says in Matthew 28, he talks to the disciples and he says, go and make other disciples who will do what I've told you to do. So actually, down the centuries, Jesus' commission has cascaded from Jesus to the disciples of the disciples, down the years to us. So that we are now the sower, standing in the field, sowing the seed. And then, as it says, going to bed. So who's sowing the seed? What is the seed? It's interesting, what is the seed? When he says the kingdom of God is like the seed, what is it? I mean, we could think of it in terms of the Holy Spirit at work in us, in creation, preparing us to understand and receive from him. It could be that. Perhaps, but I also see the seed as being the actual words and works of Jesus. Those words and works that he calls his disciples to say, the words and works that he tells the disciples to call us to do and say. If you look at Luke chapter 4, Jesus describes his manifesto like this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's sowing the seed. Now we are the ones called to sow the seed. We're the sower standing in the field. We're called to sow the seed, to preach the good news, to pray for the sick, to release the oppressed. And we do that in many ways. But the core message that we want to send through our lives and through our activities and through our words are that God loves you. Simple thing to say, God loves you. Jesus died to save you from your sins. And the Holy Spirit can fill you with eternal life, give you a purpose and a future. Good news. Okay, when does all this happen? Has it happened already? Is it happening now? Or is it something that will happen one day? When does it happen? When does the kingdom come? When is the harvest? If you hung around the vineyard for any length of time, you will have heard us talk about the already and the not yet, or the now and the not yet. And we our theology is such that we believe in living in the tension between the now and the experience of the presence of God with us today and the waiting for the full expression of his presence when there's a new creation and we will be with him 100%. We believe that the kingdom has come, that Jesus inaugurated the kingdom. He started the sowing and the growing and the reaping. But there's sowing and growing and reaping still going on today. And the complete fulfillment of the harvest, the day when the harvest will be fully gathered in, will only be fully done at some point when Jesus returns. So we see the evidence of the kingdom today. It's now. It has been. It is now. But it's incomplete. It's the fragrance of a stronger scent somewhere. It's the echo of a song we can sort of recall. We have yet to sense it or hear it fully. It has come, it is now, it is to come. And then how does this seed grow? What's the meaning of the growth of the seed? This is really the point of the kingdom of God is automatic. We sang this, didn't we? Waymaker. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And the emphasis in this parable, in this short parable, the emphasis is right in the middle. It's in verse 28. It's on the mysterious thing that happens with the seed. NIV. All by itself, the soil produces the grain. Message. The earth does it all without the farmer's help. During lockdown, Alison and I discovered, I was walking here today and there are a couple of people sitting around the corner having a cup of tea, and I just got chatting to them. They were wearing bushwhacker hats, so I assumed they must be Australians, not that I'm stereotyping. And I said, are you passing through? And they said, no, we live in Launceswood, which is just up the road. Anyway, we just got talking, and they were saying how, how in lockdown, many of us found paths and parks which we didn't know we lived amongst. Certainly it was for Alison and me. And we used to live in North Leeds, and only 10 minutes or so from our house, we could walk into farmers' fields and golf courses. And I remember over the course of the month, but over those months of walking past those fields, and the first lockdown came when they'd just been ploughed and there was nothing there visible. And we walked past and walked through all of this. And then a few weeks later, we were walking the same route because we just walked endlessly. The stubble was growing. And it was sort of, we hadn't seen any evidence of a farmer. I'm sure he'd been there and done something. He may put some fertilizer down or something, but we hadn't seen evidence of a farmer or anything going on. But the stubble was growing. And then we walked past a few weeks later, and there were these huge fields of wheat and barley. And I thought, how did that happen? There was nothing there a few weeks ago, and then all of a sudden it's all there. Isn't it wonderful? A miracle. A miracle. Now, the word that the Bible uses to talk about that is our word, automatic. The kingdom of God is automatic. Like my colleague with the car, it goes without any visible cause. The definition of automatic. And so the sense of this word picture that Jesus uses, this parable, is that there is little for us to do once we have sown the seed. We are the sower, and we have seed to sow, but there's little for us to do. We don't have to control the outcome. God grows the grain, whether we're on the beach, or as this parable says, asleep in our beds, whether we're watching the test match, which is where Josh would rather be right in the moment, or negotiating a contract at work, whether we're laughing with friends or mourning with the bereaved, God is growing the grain. All the time, God is mysteriously at work in the hearts and lives of men and women, drawing them to himself, healing, restoring, forgiving. I want you to hear from Helen. Where are you? Helen, come on. Talk to us with you. Helen had a prophecy for us in our small group a little while ago. I don't know if we actually shared it in the group, but I thought this spoke into what we're talking about today. So would you like just to read it to us?
I saw a picture of an open heart, and God was digging in it as a gardener digs in a flower bed. I saw him digging into the hard soil and digging out big weeds. He was adding rich compost to improve the condition of the dry soil so that it would be suitable for growing strong, healthy plants. I was reminded of Psalm 97, verse 11. Light seeds are planted in the souls of God's people. Joy seeds are planted in good heart soil. I think that this picture links to the picture I had a fortnight ago, when I saw God opening up the deep places in people in order to bring light into the darkness and expose the issues he wants to deal with. He wants to dig out these weeds. And the words I had then were anxiety, grief, disappointment, fear, unforgiveness, trauma, loss, pride, self-reliance, loneliness, and sickness. And I think that these are the weeds that God is removing. Some of the weeds came up with lots of hard, dry soil stuck to their roots. And God was cutting and shaking these clumps with his spade in order to loosen the soil so that just the weed is thrown away. Afterwards, he spread the compost over the hard, dry soil and lightly turned it in. And he left it to the worms to take it deep into the soil to distribute the goodness through the flower bed. And I think that these worms represent the Holy Spirit as we meditate on what we're learning and it goes deep within. God does the work. We cooperate by being willing to address the issue and allow God to deal with it in his way and bring his freedom. Holy Spirit works to improve the condition of our heart, softening, maturing, and preparing it to be ready for whatever comes next, including the planting of joy seeds. I also felt that this was to be an encouragement to us when we're not meeting over the next few weeks. God will continue to work in us during this time, just as worms are working under the surface of the soil.
That's great. Thank you, Helen. I think the Lord's saying something to us through that. I'm not an agriculturalist or a botanist or whatever it is I need to be to understand what worms do. Or whatever, but the picture is clear, isn't it? It's God's at work doing an amazing thing, both in us. And for some of you, God has encountered you in recent weeks and months, and there's stuff going on in your life, and this is an encouragement just to carry on, go to bed at night, sleep, go to the beach, and he's going to keep doing that work in you. He's going to keep doing that work in you over the summer, whenever. That prophecy from Helen is mainly about restoring, receiving healing and the restoring of mind and body and soul. And that's part of the kingdom of salvation. Salvation is both a spiritual thing but also a natural thing. It's a sotso is the Greek word. It's a wholeness, everything coming together. The big word about peace, shalom, it's well-being. It's God putting us back together again, our brokenness back together. But the main point is, and the point of this parable is, that the growth is not our role or responsibility. I don't know about you, that's like a, it's not my, I don't have to do all this growing that needs to happen in me and in you. It's not our role or responsibility. It's not in our capacity to do it. We can't do this stuff. No amount of therapy or medical intervention or teaching will do that inner work that God needs to do in our lives. The timing is in God's hands. It's not in our control. We're not sure when it'll start. We're not sure when it'll finish or how long it'll take. It's in his hands. It's spontaneous. We can't initiate it beyond sowing the seed. It's inescapable. We can't stop it. It's a bit like pregnancy. Once you're pregnant, that's it. You can't stop it. That baby's going to grow. It's imperceptible. We can't actually see it happening. I heard on the radio the other day a recording. Somebody had stuck to figure out a way of recording, putting a microphone into the earth. I don't know if any of you have heard this. And they were playing ostensibly what was the sound of worms moving around. Maybe it was. But, I mean, we can't actually see what's going on underneath. Might just about be able to hear it, I guess, if there's a microphone there. It's imperceptible. The whole thing is such a relief to know that our role is to sow the seed, not grow the grain. What's that line from that song that we were singing? Waymaker. Even when Even when I don't see it, you're working. Is that it? Is that the line? Yeah? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Perhaps that songwriter had read this parable. We can leave it to God, the Holy Spirit. It's automatic. Let's finish off quickly. Who are the harvesters? Who are the harvesters? There is imagery in biblical stories about angels being harvesters. Or perhaps Jesus is the harvester. But I think he means that we're meant to be harvesters too. And later on he talks about the fields being white, ready for harvest. And the strong implication is that the disciples are meant to be the harvesters. There not being enough people to go out and bring in the grain. And some of us have worked in environments where gathering the harvest is really hard. We've done lots of sowing and we're trusting God to do the growing and we don't see the harvest, and that may be it, actually. There's others of us people seem to fall over themselves in terms of a harvest when we haven't done much up front. God gives different ones of us different roles to play, different gifts. Some of us are good at the sowing, some of us are good at the weeding, some of us are good at waterings, and some of us get the privilege and the joy of being part of the reaping. What does it look like, this harvest? It's a really interesting question. What does the harvest look like? Is it a gleaming church building and hot worship bands? Not that our bands aren't hot. I'm not sure that's the right adjective. Is it thousands of social media followers? I don't think so. And although the harvest is sometimes obvious, as when, you know, it's not happened to me very often, but very occasionally someone's turned to me and said, "So, how do I become a Christian?" That's great. I'll take that. I'll reap that piece of harvest. Usually when I've had nothing to do with it, I just happen to be in the right place. And some have even seen it in revival, and we've read about revival, and Alice and I have talked about that a bit since our sabbatical last year. But more often than that, it's not that obvious. And we need to look for the harvest with our spiritual eyes. It's taking place in this sort of supernatural realm automatically, which may well become evident in the natural. What I mean is that we need to be asking God for a revelation of when we can actually climb on board the combine harvester and set off and reap the grain. We may have this sort of conversation with the Lord. Lord, is this person, the one I'm sharing the gospel with in my life, in my words, in my prayers, Lord, is this person ready yet? Is there some way in which I could show them your love? Should I invite them to Alpha? Lord, should I invite them to the Sunday gathering or to my small group? Lord, should I offer to pray for this person? Lord, is now a good time to share my story with them or ask them for their story or maybe find a good book for them to read? Lord, is now the right time to ask them if they want to give their lives to you? It's that conversation with God, seeking with spiritual eyes to see what he's doing and to hear his prompting. Yeah, now is the time. Do you see what they said about this when you last had a cup of coffee with them? Now's the time to talk to them about your faith. This Sunday would be a good time to invite them. They'll probably say no, but it's a good time to invite them. Listen out for the Father's voice speaking to us as he's doing his work. As we sow the seed, as we share the good news, as we pray for the sick, as we seek justice for the oppressed, let's be on the lookout for the harvest. God will be doing his miracle of growth, this spiritual transformation going on in people's hearts, in the heart of the lost. And then he gives some of us the inestimable privilege of collecting it in. As we look around, we do see harvest in here. We see the harvest. We think about the life of our community of faith. Those of you joining online, you'll have stories to tell about the harvest in your lives and in the lives of the people around you. But I don't want us to think that just because we're a friendly bunch, mainly, people doing good meetings and praying for one another and experiencing life transformation, I want us to think that we're either sowing enough seed or reaping enough of a harvest. There's much, much more to come, brothers and sisters. We've started individually as a church, but there's so much more to be done. Let's look for ways and opportunities to sow the seed, allow God to grow the kingdom automatically. So over the summer, keep sowing the seed. Tell people about Jesus. Show them his love. Pray for the sick. Look for ways to step up and serve. We've all got friends, families, co-workers we would love to welcome into the kingdom. We have all got hearts that break for the lost and the lonely. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for an inbreaking of the kingdom. Let's pray for a great reaping. Maybe we'll see it. Maybe the next generation will see it. Let's pray for it. Let us be sowers of good seed that we may reap a good harvest. Let's serve the lost and the lonely, the oppressed and the poor. Let's step out in action to be the good news of Jesus. Let's take every chance to share the good news of Jesus. And then, even whilst many of us are relaxing on the beach or asleep in our beds, we know that God is at work automatically. Growing the harvest. Amen. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We just wait for your presence. A bit like waiting for you to grow the seed. Holy Spirit, come. Spirit, let him come. Just he may have spoken through the words I was speaking, he may have spoken to you through the music, he may not, maybe something completely different. Invite him to come. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. Come and minister to your people. I just want to encourage you that as you think about the stuff that God is doing, that he is at work. Even if you can't see it, he is at work. I've got a couple of words to share. Then actually I'm going to invite the band back just to lead us in some worship at the end. Do you want to? No? Okay, go for it. This is my wife, Alison, for those of you who don't know.
In the worship, just had a picture of, I don't know if anybody has tripped over something or stubbed their toe or just, is struggling with the painful effects of having done that this week. Is there anyone whose toe or foot is... No, I just had a sense that maybe somebody had a poorly foot from tripping over something. So it'd be great to pray for you. And if maybe it's somebody online, maybe it's nothing, but just sharing it just in case.
It's so Alice and I and others take the risk of sharing words of knowledge with you. It's great these days because we can all say it's probably somebody online.
It's obviously
a wonderful cop out. No, it's not a cop out. He's got a dodgy foot.
It was a left. Actually, it was. Just like it.
Okay, we'll pray for your foot.
Yeah.
I felt the Lord said, for somebody here, your faith is in the freezer. Your faith is in the freezer, and for the person for whom this is, or the persons for whom this is... the message, your faith is in the freezer and it's time to take it out and defrost it. Your faith is in the freezer. And you know exactly what that means. And the Lord is saying, I don't know why now particularly, but he wants you to take it out and defrost it. Why don't you stand? Ben, do you want to come and do something? So I'm just going to pray particularly for one thing. I'd like to stand there with, if you're able. And in Helen's prophetic word that she shared, she talked about the joy. And I just sense the Holy Spirit wants to... the Bible talks about the fruit, not just the harvest, but the fruit. And one of the fruit of the presence of the Holy Spirit and of God's work in our lives is joy. Some of you are happy, joyful type people naturally. Some of you less so. But the Holy Spirit can bring joy. Okay? Even if you're normally that shape, the Holy Spirit can bring joy. So I just want us to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just to release and grow in us the fruit of joy. Yeah? Anybody want joy? There's some people who don't. Yeah. I'm going to assume you're just being English and polite and not putting your hand up. Would you like to put your hands out anyway, secretly? Holy Spirit, we come to you just desperate for you to grow in our lives. To do your work, your restoring work, to grow a harvest in our lives and to grow a harvest around us. And one of the fruit that we would love to reap is joy. So Lord, I ask you to come and grow joy in us. And for some of us, that's a sort of a thing that'll take time. It's an adaptation to our personality. And for some, it's just a release. It's okay to be happy and to be joyful. Lord, would you come? Release your joy right now. Let him come. Let him come with joy. Feel your mouth changing shape. Feel your heart lifting as you understand his joy, the joy of being a son or daughter of the King, the joy of being forgiven for everything, the joy of having eternal life promised to you, the joy of just enjoying the life he's given you. Yeah, let him come. Amidst all the rubbish, Lord, would you come with your joy? Yeah, more. Yeah, Majid, the Holy Spirit is on you. Let him come and bring joy. Say goodbye to those of you who are online. Thank you for being with us. Yeah. Julian and Liz, receive that. Receive that. More of that. You even laughed at one of my jokes. Lord, I just pray that you would release joy in their lives. For those of you who've got some sort of misery and sadness in your life, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a place for that, but he also wants to put alongside that joy. So especially if time is hard for you now, just ask for him to come and bring joy amidst the tears.